Well, good morning. Greetings to each one this morning in Jesus' name. I am thankful for that cleansing wave that we have that can wash our sins away. There's something that is critically important to the success of a Christian life that will increase our victory, and that is prayer. Prayer is a vitamin, not a meal. And sometimes I've wondered why it is so difficult to pray. And in my life, when I find something is difficult, I tend to be lacking confidence in that area. If I were to fly an airplane, I would find it difficult because I lack the confidence. This morning, I would like to look at praying in confidence. The title of what I have to share this morning is Confidence in Prayer. For a verse to get us started is going to be in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." With all the disciples, the time they spent with Jesus, they asked him to teach them to pray. They did not ask for mere healing powers or the ability to preach or the gifts of healing or anything of those lines. They asked to learn how to pray. And I think it's important that when we walk in a life of prayer and spiritual prayer, that the power for other things are going to come with that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning with a thankful heart that we can be gathered together this morning and that we can look into your word and see how we can connect with you and come to you with confidence. I just ask that you would be with us this morning, be with those that are from our church that are not here as well. I just ask you would bless their days. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Matthew 17. In verse 19 through 21, "And then came the disciples to Jesus in part and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." I see here again that by prayer and fasting, we are going to have faith and spiritual strength. That's something that we have to understand. Is if we want victory in our life, we have to be able to understand prayer. Because if prayer is the way to connect to God, and we don't know how to connect to God, then we're not going to be able to have victory in our Christian life. A few chapters back, in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." The first half of that verse says not to use vain repetitions. And as I thought about that, it's not about the words, it's about the relationship. If I were to ask Emmanuel to borrow his skid steer, and I didn't have a relationship with him, and I wasn't very confident in Emmanuel, I might have a lot of ums and I might call him Mr. King or Emmanuel or Brother Emmanuel or go through all kinds of different names because I lack that personal connection with him. And I think that we don't need to have the lack of a personal connection with God. And he asks us to call him our Father and to call him, it also calls him Abba, which is translated to Papa or Daddy. So that shows relationship. And most of us can go to our parents, to our dad, and confidently ask him about something And it's because there's a relationship there that we don't have to be insecure or lack the confidence in talking with him. That's the foundation of what I have to share. The text I'm going to be using this morning is from Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be using verses 7 through verse 12. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets." The first point I see that brings it so I can come to God in confidence is God promises to answer. He promises to answer everyone. There's no exclusions here. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you." It doesn't say to the disciples. It doesn't say it's to anyone directly or individually. "Ask and it shall be given to you." So we can come to God with confidence knowing that he promises to answer. It's also not something that we can do once and be done. If there was a door and everyone knew that there was $100,000 behind that door, and whoever knocked on the door longest would get it, I'm guessing there'd be some people that would knock for a very long time until they were able to reach that. I wonder if that's how we pray. When there's something that we are seeking and asking and knocking for, do we go at it with a vigor that we know we can get it? Another thing I see with asking, seeking, and knocking, it shows a close relationship. If I were to want to get in touch with somebody that was distant from me, I would have to either call them or write them a letter. I can't just go up and ask them. And I also see here where if I'm in the same room as Melvin is and I have a question for him, I can just directly ask him that question. I don't have to go looking for him. But if Melvin's not in that room, maybe he's out in his study or in the garage or in the shop, I have to seek him. And if God is distant, we have to seek him to be able to talk to him. Well, what if I found Melvin and he was behind a door? I would have to seek and then knock on that door to restore that open and clear relationship and communication with him. And I think that is what God desires from us, is that we would ask and seek and knock. Depending on where we're at in our relationship with him, it might differ how we come to God. And another thing I find that and God always answers our prayers is he doesn't always give us the answers that we want, but he always does answer. I came up with four answers that God gives to prayer, and that is no, slow, grow, or go. I find that if we ask God a question and he says no, then that's no. He might say not now or to be slow, and he also might say that he wants us to grow. We need to change something in our life before he can answer that prayer. Another point I see in asking God and praying with confidence is that God will never give us anything unhelpful. If I were to ask Matthew for something, and 60% of the time it was a good thing, and 40% of the time it was a bad thing, I'm going to lack confidence in asking Matthew for help. If 60% of Hillview's roofs leak, and Google reviews had that, a lot of their sheds leaked, people are going to lack confidence in buying their sheds. So I find it that God encouraging and boosting of confidence that God will never give us anything that's not helpful for our life. You see that in verse 9, where it talks about, if a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If you're hungry, a rock doesn't do you any good. God will not give us things we can't use. And that is confidence. And sometimes kids ask parents for things that aren't good for them. And God is our Father, so sometimes I think it's understandable that we're going to ask for things that we don't understand and things that aren't going to be good for us. But that's for Him to sort out, just like parents decide if it's good for the child to go play in the street or not. And so it's encouraging to know He not only won't give us anything that's not helpful, He won't give us anything that's dangerous. We see that in verse 10. It's a little closer. The guy's still hungry. He wants the fish. But to get a poisonous serpent, which doesn't specify is poisonous, but you pretty well can assume snakes are poisonous, it doesn't help him from being hungry. And so it's encouraging and helps me to ask God with confidence that I know He won't give me things that are dangerous. There's a lot of a difference between a stone and a snake. Another point that boosts my confidence in asking God and in relationship with Him is He only gives what's best for me. In verse 11, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" That is a boost of confidence to know that God promises to give more and good things to those that ask Him. He knows what we actually need more than we know what we need. And sometimes we're left confused by answers. We pray for something and then the answer is not what we expected or not what we wanted. We have to just be able to rely and trust God that He knows what's better for us than we do. And that is encouraging to me, because sometimes if I got what I wanted, I wouldn't be where God wanted me in a few years later. So sometimes I've wondered if there's a much of a point in praying, because God is sovereign and He already knows my needs. But the same God that knows my needs, that is sovereign, is the same one that says to ask and seek and knock. So I think that it's important to not just say, because God knows my needs, I don't need to ask them, because He asks us to ask and seek and knock. He wants that relationship with us. I also find in verse 12 where it says that, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I find that interesting in the context of asking God for gifts and things that we need, that it includes others. Sometimes I've wondered, when somebody asks me to pray for them, what I should pray for them about. Somebody can just ask you to pray for them and they may not be specific. I think this verse is alluding to the point that we can pray for them what we would desire prayed for in our own lives. If we're desiring security and peace and direction, then that's probably what we can pray for other people in, because it says, "Whatsoever, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so unto them." I think that can go into our prayer life as well. And we can confidently bring those things to God, knowing that He desires the best for that person's life as well. Another reason I think that that is important is in the book of Job, right at the end of Job's book, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." We see that God blessed Job's life when Job prayed for his friends. And God still wants us to pray for our friends and for each other. And I think that that is something that is encouraging, that we can pray with confidence for each other. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Praying always with all supplication, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we see here that we are called to pray for each other, and that we are still our brother's keeper, and that we are still in a spiritual war. And if we don't have prayer, that verse there about praying always comes after the armor of God, And so if we have the whole armor of God, but we don't have the power to fight in the armor of God, we're not going to be successful in our Christian life. So I think it's important that we pray with confidence for each other as well. A couple of other verses I have that I want to share here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's the will of God that we live a life of prayer and that we have a relationship with Him. If I have a relationship with someone and I want to be their friends, and I only talk to them 5 minutes every couple days or 5 minutes every morning, I'm not really in a close relationship with them. And that's why I think that God wants us to pray without ceasing, because He wants to have a continual connection and relationship with us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I find this verse confidence because it says to let all our requests be known unto God, and that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds. Oftentimes when we pray to God, we bring our hardest struggles and our hardest trials, and we're called to come to God with our requests and prayers. And the following verse says, "Let His peace, which passes all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds." That is an encouraging thing to me. It's something that boosts my confidence in coming to God, knowing that He wants to keep my anxieties and worries. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, it says, "Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me. Ye shall search for me with all your heart." And I find that again, that there has to be commitment. And again, that turns back to the asking and seeking and knocking, where we have to seek out God and have that clear relationship with Him so we can come with confidence to Him. In Jeremiah 33, it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So if we don't call on God, He can't answer us, and He can't show us those great and mighty things that we don't know. So I think that if we want to grow in our Christian life, we have to come to God and call unto Him so He can show us those things that are lacking. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, I'm in the wrong book. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in time of need." Again, we see coming boldly is coming with confidence. If you're not confident in something, you're not going to come very boldly at it. You're going to be a little bit timid and shy if you're lacking confidence. And so let's pray with confidence. God wants that relationship with us, and we can come to Him in confidence, knowing that He hears our prayers and that He has our best interest in mind. God bless y'all.